I just want to say good morning. My name is Katie Diani. I do help with the high school ministry here at Vineyard on a team of leaders, including Nathan. And I love this church so much, even so much so that when I'm sick, I'm still going to show up here. Sorry. I won't touch you, but I'll stay my big bubble distance away from everybody. No worries. And, you know, I've been married for 3 years, and my husband is super hot, and I love him. And we have a 2-year-old son that has already been escorted out because he is loud and wonderful also. We love bringing him to church. He loves going to Kid Zone. We love taking him there because I get to boot him out. And I don't have to hear Mama and Papa and the Elmo theme song on repeat all day. So it's fun to drop him off at Kid Zone, and we just love being a part of this church. So, you know, if you're like me with a 2-year-old, maybe not, but Sundays can be rough getting to church on time. Like today, we had to change several diapers, and just getting him here was a big, big event. So if you're like me and sometimes mornings are a little bit rough, I just want to uplift you with some good news stories from this week. There's a newspaper called the Good News Network, and all they share are good news stories, not anything causing distress, but it's all good news stories. And these are some of them from this past week. CO2 emissions stopped rising last year, says the IEA, thanks to the growth in renewable resources. Homicide rates around the world are continuing to fall to record low levels year after year. Plane passengers threw an impromptu baby shower for a couple returning home with their adopted child. After 5 years of drought, a Kenyan region finally got clean water by solar-powered saltwater plants. And this is my favorite. This week, a 104-year-old veteran who had never before celebrated Valentine's Day got over 70,000 love letters in the mail. That's awesome. I love that. And I think it's so important that we hear that news, honestly, as often as possible. And regardless of how you feel about the news or not, you're going to get addressed with the news on a daily basis, whether it's on social media or newspapers or billboards or radios or TV, whatever you get, you're going to see the news stories every day. And regardless of how you feel about it, we all have a response to the news that we hear. I personally don't listen to the news, but I try to stay as updated as I can by just looking at the news on a couple of days a week, seeing what's happening. I know Dave Diani keeps me updated with all the news. Like, he knows before it even happens. It's amazing. But, you know, and then there's other people who just stay so far away from the news. They don't want to hear all of the political race drama, or they don't want to hear about how the world is collapsing, or they don't want to hear about the things that make them afraid to go outside at night, you know. And I get that. But regardless, we all have a response to the news that we hear. And I think it's an interesting parallel in the story that we've been unraveling called The Sower and the Seed, which is a parable shared by Jesus in multiple books of the New Testament. And we have had a chance to look at this story the past couple weeks and some different examples of how we as people respond to the news that the Bible has to share with us, whether it's the gospel or just the news that scripture has riddled throughout the entire book. So we're going to continue to read in actually the chapter of Mark on the parable of the sower and the seed. So if you could put up that scripture, we're just going to do a quick overview of the scripture so that everyone can catch up with us. It's in Mark 4, verses 14 through 20. If you need a Bible today, you know, you don't have a Bible, we would love to get one in your hands. Just go to the Next Step area after service today and ask them if you're in need of a Bible. We would love to get you a Bible. So in Mark 4, 14 through 20, it says this: the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that's been sown in their hearts. And these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time being. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I just wanted to read that full scripture because I think it's important to see that Jesus is highlighting four different, examples of the condition of someone's heart to receive the word of God. So that's what we've been working through the past couple weeks. We've heard about the first soil being the one where the seed was sown, but it didn't even take root. It was taken away by the birds. And what that means is just that it never had chance to even sprout or grow. And it was stolen away before God's word could even receive in your heart. And that's happened to me before. I know that's a totally true example where I'm reading scripture and nothing was even planted. It just was taken away from me before I could even use it. Second, we talked about rocky soil, and the rocky soil being one where the seed was sown and it was sown and it sprouted, but the roots did not grow deep enough so that when trial and tribulation came to the plant dried up and it didn't have the roots to sustain itself, and it died and withered away. And now today we get to go into the third example where it says the soil was good, but the seed was sown among the thorns. And so we're gonna dig into what that means. I just wanna give a good example. You can keep that verse up, go to the next verse, but this is the Amplified Bible and their description. It's gonna look different from what you see on the screen. I just like the way it's worded in Mark 4, and this is just verse 18. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, but then the cares and the anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age, the pleasures and delights, the false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in, choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. So we know that the seed is the word of God being sown, whether it's through a Sunday service and someone sharing a word with you, or maybe you're reading scripture in your own free time and you're spending time with the Lord and you're hearing a word from God. There are so many examples where the seed is being sown into our lives. You know, maybe someone wrote you a little verse down at the bottom of your birthday card. Have you ever gotten that? I never look it up. I wish I did. If you don't write it down, I'm like, I don't know what that, I'll find it later. And the different soils are our different reactions as people to the word of God being sown on our lives. And so in this example, it's kind of scary, and I think Jesus is actually warning us of a very real threat in our lives in this example. And I'm grateful to hear it, but it's also a really convicting thing because I know that it's so true. And I think it's true for all of us at some point in our lives that we have a word from God sown into our lives, and it's powerful and it takes root, and then all of a sudden something creeps up on us. A weed starts growing around the roots that God has placed and started sowing in your life. And so what's deceiving about this scripture is the soil is great. You know, maybe your heart is in a wonderful condition so that when the word is planted, you know, it starts to take root in your life. But what comes along with good soil, for anyone who's ever gardened before, if you don't take care of your garden for the whole summer, what's popping up in your garden within the first week, right? All sorts of weeds. I don't even know if they're plants half the time. I'm like, is that my peas? Is that a weed? I'll wait 4 weeks, and then it's destroyed my plant. So, you know, I know that is so true. No matter how good of a gardener you are, no matter if you put that weed tarping down and you try all of your pesticides and whatever, those weeds grow in your life and in your garden, even if you have great soil and all the conditions that you need. And so the thorns that are described in this scripture are interesting to me. You know, they have a name. He's named these thorns. He says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Those are things that are dangers. It's like a red flag for your faith. You know, the word has been sown on your heart, but so have these things been sown in the soil of your heart. deceitfulness of riches, cares of the world, cares for other things, desires. You know, I think we're all so guilty of this, and it comes in so many forms. We live in a very modern age of distraction. I mean, can you even get through a day without being distracted by something? It's everywhere. We're all so busy. We have things to do and people to see and events to go to and things to buy. And, you know, we get home and a lot of the time we're totally guilty of just sitting down and slapping a screen in front of our face, whether it's a phone or a TV or a laptop. You just want to numb out because the whole world is so distracted all the time. And you have so much to do. And even those things, what's so a warning sign for my life is you can have the best things to do. They can be great things, birthday parties and weddings and, you know, worship nights and things to do with my son and parties to go to and friends to hang out with and work to do that I love doing. But we have to be so cautious that even those good things can be a distraction from the word of God planted in your heart and what God wants to do in your life. And, you know, that is a dangerous place to be. But I think he's warning us, and he's just saying, you know, be aware that what you are tending to in your heart and the soil that's being planted, what else might be alongside your plants? What else might be alongside the word of God that's sown in your heart? And I hate this topic, but I'm going to bring it up because God brought it up and I feel like we have to talk about it. But the deceitfulness of riches is so sick. And you know, I wonder sometimes what that means for so many other countries and how they understand that scripture, because we are so blessed. It is unreal. We, you know, no matter who you are, the deceitfulness of riches comes like this. There is always someone richer than you, and there is always someone who is poorer than you, and there's always someone who has more than you and has less. And no matter how much you have, you always want a little bit more. Sorry, let me fix that so you're not jingling. So you always want a little bit more, and it's never quite enough. And I can get caught up in this. If I had more money, I could do more for the kingdom of God. You know, like, oh man, I wish I had more money so I could buy more wheelchairs for the Vietnam wheelchair mission, you know? And I think that comes from an okay heart, but really what we're saying is I don't have enough, God, and I need more. And it's so hard, you know, being rich in a country like Haiti. Where's Steve Fitter? Is he in here? Mm-hmm. What's being rich in a country like Haiti? Eating every day. I mean, and that is a reality. That's a real life of someone in Haiti today, is they're just hoping they can eat and feed their kids. We are so rich. And you know, God has a couple of things to say about money that I feel like are just too good to not be shared. In Matthew 6, he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And in 1 Timothy, he commands us. He says, command those who are rich not to trust in their riches, but be ready always to give and share your wealth, storing up a good foundation in heaven. And then in Proverbs 10, the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. He adds no sorrow and no worry with it. Make sure that we're ahead of this power and this deceitfulness, because it comes strong. I think, you know, there's so much you can do to sow or to pull this weed from our heart of deceitfulness of riches. And it looks a lot like sharing your wealth, giving your money to God. You know, I know that in my own life, these weeds have come in many forms, many shapes, many forms. And I just wrote down a few. I was trying to think back to points in my life when it was obvious to me that I had to take care of some weeds going on. And these were practical examples of what it looked like in my life to have to pull some weeds out of my garden. Learning to listen and not talk so much. Cleaning up my dirty mouth. sorry. Unearthing forgiveness that I had been holding on to. Wanting people to like me more than I wanted them to know about Jesus. I had to stop watching movies that were provoking fear and inducing lust in me. I had to confront addictions and find accountability to help me pursue fighting that. And I felt like God hurt me and said, you need to start giving to the church because it was never an option. I commanded you to give to me and give to the church. And those things, I mean, I'm telling you, some of them might sound simple, but when it's a weed you have to pull out of your life, it hurts a little bit, you know? And God, we've been saying God is gentle. He's a gentle gardener. And I love that. I think that's so cool. Because, you know, I was talking to Chip. He said when he tries to pull weeds out of his garden, sometimes it lifts the roots of the plant out. And that's in a verse in Matthew. And I think what's beautiful about the way God helps us pull the weeds out of our lives is he does it so gracefully. And there's no harm done. It feels so much better. You get to bloom. So the rest of this scripture, we didn't really talk about much, but it says it becomes unfruitful. This seed is sown and it grows, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things come in. They grow up alongside of the seed that had been sown, and it chokes out the plant that is growing, and it's unfruitful. So no fruit is born. There's no fruit in our lives from what we see planted by the word of God, because these things come in and they choke us out. And, you know, we could ask ourselves, could we just continue to live that way, right? Do I need to bear fruit? Like, can't I just make it into heaven and kind of hope and pray that that's enough? I'm surviving this rough life, you know, do I need to bear fruit? But in, you know, multiple scriptures, we hear God talk about bearing fruit, and two that have stood out to me, one's a little intense. We've heard Jesus say, you know, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser in John. He says, any vine and branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off and thrown into the fire because it's living outside of its identity. You know, later on in John, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit, and you shall have whatever you ask the Father in my name. And I think, you know, Paul and I were talking about this last night. He said, it's so important because it says more than just fruit in scripture is not just some wealth or success or like, wow, my life, I have everything. That's not what it's about. Fruit is your identity, and fruit, you know, is what God has ordained on our lives. It looks a lot simpler, and I can tell you that when you're unfruitful, you can feel it. You can feel unfruitfulness in your life, and I've been there. You feel sad, you feel depressed, you feel like you're just waiting for something more. You feel like you're stuck. You feel, you know, sad. And I think, you know, we don't put a priority on saying, I'm a child of God and I've been called to be fruitful. We know what, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. We are promised so many things, and God wants to see us live a full life. And part of living a full life means being fruitful. And he says, be careful because these things can choke out your fruit. And so just in taking care of the weeds of our lives, you know, I just want to highlight that we reflect what we're tending to in our garden. Regardless of whether you like it or not, you reflect what you're tending to in your garden. Whether you're allowing the seed of the word of God and you're tending to it and you're taking care of it and you're weeding out what's happened when, you know, God told you, really spoke to you in the scripture, you want to root your life around it, you want to make changes, you want to do something about it, you take care of that plant well. But if you don't take care of it, things are going to start popping up. You're going to want more money to do more things, to go on more adventures, to see more people, to buy better gifts for your friends, to do this stuff more, to have more time, to have more energy, to not be sick, to... It's endless. It's endless. And where we give the intentional tending to in our hearts, I think is gonna see, you're gonna see what grows. And I just wanna kind of start to close out with this scripture in John. It's in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It's just a beautiful example, I think, of what we're talking about here. And it says this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. This world is not our home." And we're citizens of heaven, right? You know, we know that we're strangers in this world. This world is passing, and this is not our home, right? So, you know, God warns us of this deadly, subtle enemy in our lives, these three things. And, you know, I think it's different for every single person in this room, those three things. And it's probably obvious what it is to you that chokes out the seed of God in your life. We need to prioritize putting the word of God deep in our lives. We need to prioritize and preoccupy our time and our life with the word of God in heavy doses all the time, in all things. Root it in who you are, in your identity, and what your family does. And there's an enemy called, you know, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, desires of the world, other things, cares of the world, deceitfulness of money and riches. We're preoccupied with so much. And I just want to end with giving you a little hope, because I don't think that God said all these things to scare us. I think he said all these things to inform us and to give us a heads up. And he knows that we need a heads up sometimes. And I love this, how this was worded, you know. You need to seek God and his will, his kingdom and his righteousness. It's important to realize that none of these soils are hopeless. The hard ground can be broken up again. The stones can be taken out of our lives. The weeds can be pulled. And change is possible. And wherever you want to see the word of God grow in your life, I truly believe that God wants to see the word grow in your life as well. He doesn't want you to be choked out and strangled by the cares of this world. He is not looking to confuse us or constrain us. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you bear fruit. He wants to see you live in the fullness that he's promised for us. Is that right? All right. Well, I'm just going to end out in prayer this morning and just thank you guys. I hope that God is speaking here today. Lord, we just come before you and just say thank you for your word and your promises. And Lord, we know that sometimes we do need a heads up to the deceitfulness of the world and the cares and the riches that we can so easily get preoccupied by. Lord, I just ask right now that the Holy Spirit just come and give us wisdom to each person and each heart, each rocky ground, each hard ground, each thorny ground, God, in this room, that you stir us up and that you till the ground of our hearts so that we may be fertile to plant your seed and to watch it grow and come to fruition. We know and trust that you are a God who heals and saves. We know that you are miraculous and that you change hearts in a moment. So God, we just ask for your presence and your healing in Jesus' name. Amen.